you are here, and you're bringing with you a crew and hiring some local crew that's going to be producing what will be a very, very important film on the life of Thurgood Marshall.
Definitely. It's a, you know, Marshall is basically the story of one case in the life of Thurgood Marshall. It's, you know, 1940. It's a case in Connecticut. Most of the he's working for the NAACP at this point, which is most of his working career. And he mostly worked for cases in the South. This one happens to be taking place in Greenwich, Connecticut. And it's a criminal case where a gentleman is accused of a crime. And he comes up, but he's not allowed to practice law in this particular case by the at the discretion of the judge who is in charge of the case. And so he has to go out and hire a local attorney, and the only one that would take it was a an insurance civil case lawyer by the name of Sam Friedman. And so he has to enlist Sam Friedman as his co-counsel in the case. And the judge even complicates it further when he says, you can't even speak in my court, Mr. Marshall. So basically the film is about the friendship between the two of them, Sam Friedman and Thurgood Marshall.
And it wasn't just what happened to Marshall after this case, but what also happened to Friedman.
Correct. Sam Friedman was so taken by Thurgood Marshall and the concept of civil rights that he wound up quitting his insurance practice and joining the NAACP. And so for the next couple of decades, it was him and Thurgood Marshall as the leading civil rights attorneys in this country until, obviously, Mr. Marshall's ascendance to the Supreme Court.
Most Americans will remember Thurgood Marshall most as being the first African American to sit on the U.S. Supreme Court. Tell me about the importance of looking at some of Thurgood Marshall's earlier work as he rises as a civil rights champion.
It's a case of quite literally, I laugh, it's like the classic underdog, is because this is a gentleman who had to, you know, go to every small town throughout the South for years and years and years, and just and the people he was representing, it was pretty much an open and shut case most of the time. but he was there to basically represent them where they never thought they would ever do it. So in my mind, that's a it's a good underdog story, and it still plays today as far as sometimes you're up against it and you just need one friend.
And underdog stories are popular among a lot of Americans. So when this movie is being shot, is there the thought that this is not just an important tale for African-Americans but for all Americans?
Oh, my God, yes. I mean, like I said, it's an underdog story. It's like you're always against – or you're always up against, you know, someone more powerful than you. And you always need a friend.
As you were coming to look at locations here in Buffalo, first of all, why did you choose here?
Well, we needed something that looked like Greenwich, Connecticut, or Bridgeport, Connecticut, where the actual trial happened. And so we started looking around, and a lot of the stuff in Connecticut doesn't really exist anymore. So as far as the case takes place in 1940. So we started looking a little bit wider. We went to Cincinnati. We went to Pittsburgh, things that had, you know, some kind of prominence in the 1940s that had a certain amount of wealth, et cetera. And then finally somebody mentioned Buffalo. And so I came up and with the help of the Film Commission, one of the keys to coming to Buffalo is definitely we found a decommissioned federal courthouse. I think it's called the Dillon Courthouse.
Yes.
It was built in 1934 and it was decommissioned, meaning it's empty. It's pristine and looks just like it would have in 1940.
Were there any other locations here that that wowed you and made you decide that Buffalo is where we have to do this?
let me just finish one last little thought about the Dillon Courthouse. Is because it's owned by the federal government. You deal with the GSA administration, who've been incredibly helpful, and Senator Schumer and his staff have been amazing in helping us basically walk the path with the GSA, explaining what we're doing and how to film there easily and inexpensively, meaning something that would fit with our budget. So both the GSA and Senator Schumer's office have been amazing. So getting back to your question, I'm sorry. Other things that we love. We have been looking at some mansions, you know, because the crime happened at a mansion. We've been looking at period railroads, because part of him traveling through the South included lots of rail travel at the time. We've been looking at some different bars that feel like they're of the period. Something like the Buffalo Club looks very much like a private men's club back in the day. So that's something we've been looking at. So there's a lot of history that feels like still it's in 1940. So we're trying to capture that.
Is it becoming harder to find classic scenery like that as you're scouting city to city looking for film shoots?
Very much so. I mean, I noticed it, Pittsburgh, I think, probably has a similar situation as Buffalo, in that it's a Rust Belt place, squarely in the Rust Belt. And then when you go to some place like Pittsburgh, it's really hard to find. I mean, they've really covered it up or knocked it down, or it doesn't have the same sense of preservation, I think, that Buffalo has.
Now, schedule-wise, when do we start rolling?
We would probably be starting filming at the end of May, and probably only it's a relatively short shoot for a film, and we'd probably be here for about 5 weeks.
And anticipated release?
Oh, that's a bigger question. It could be as early as the end of next year, but probably early 2017.
Looking up and down your resume, you've worked on some projects such as I Am Legend. You've also got a lengthier string of documentaries. Do you fancy yourself more the storyteller in terms of nonfiction as opposed to fiction or fantasy stories?
Definitely. if you've seen a lot of the documentaries that I've done, they're history documentaries. It's like the Pilgrims. It's about whaling. It's about, that's the kind of stuff that fascinates me. And this was part of that story, along with my fellow producers, Jonathan Sanger and Paula Wagner, who've done very big films. I think we all have a sense of story, you know.
What got you aboard the Marshall project, and what made you get in on this?
Jonathan and Paula are just friends, and so we were able to put together some investors, and Paula was able. Paula had this project, and we all read it, and we just kind of all fell in love with it. So, with the investors, and we just kind of it was a nice, happy marriage.
Buffalo's gained a lot of film productions, major ones. There was a chase scene from the forthcoming Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles sequel. Also some smaller films, some made-for-TV, feel-good films, all across the gamut, different budget sizes. Have you dabbled with Buffalo before? And if not, what are your early impressions?
Oh, I mean, certainly the reason that we are coming here, I mean, besides obviously Senator Schumer's work and the GSA's assistance, is definitely the Buffalo Film Commission. I mean, they really put themselves out there to really help producers and filmmakers to feel welcome and to make it feel like it's, you've got a great support system here. You're not just left out there to try to deal with, let's say, government officials or police or any kind of regulations. They explain things. They really help smooth things out. That's really how I felt. And I feel very taken care of while I'm here, put it that way.